E.B. White, once called New York, by all odds the loftiest of cities, this vigorous spear that presses heaven hard. Manhattan has been compelled to expand skyward, he wrote, because of the absence of any other direction in which to grow. A fascination with the hidden world of New York City rooftops, tantalizingly out of reach, has led to an exhibition called Up on the Roof at the New York Historical Society.
The idea came to us to do this show because me in particular and my friend are the kind of people who always want to go the places you're not supposed to go. So part of this show was a way for us to get up into that mystery space up there.
Curator Kathleen Hulser walks us through the show. The floor is covered with tar roofing paper. There are photographs here of joggers running laps around a sky-high rooftop, a young boy flying a kite off a rooftop. There's a Jacob Riis photograph from the 1890s of tubercular children on a rooftop bundled up on iron bedsteads, and more.
I have to ask you about this photograph over here. It says 1920, Chef Leone exercising his cooks.
Well, tell me what you see here.
I see an army of male chefs in full white chef regalia looking like they're doing calisthenics up on a rooftop.
All of these chefs worked at one hotel, if you can believe it. They all worked at the Hotel Commodore, and Chef Leone, who's leading them, is apparently the head chef, and he's standing up on a table and he's leading the calisthenics.
Their fists are raised, their elbows are bent, and their fists are raised.
Their fists are clenched, yeah. And they're all watching him. They're all facing him like he's conducting an orchestra. And there he is on top of the table looking kind of ridiculous, frankly.
It's one thing to talk about rooftops. Better still, to go explore some.
Yeah, we'll go up to the roof tank.
No kidding.
You got it.
We're going to the top of a Midtown office building with Andrew Rosenwalk. For four generations, his family has been in the water tank business. They build the huge wooden tanks that are, in their own way, as distinctive a feature of the New York skyline as the Empire State Building's spire. From up on high, we're at eye level with tank after tank stretching across the horizon.
It's what we call our forest, our farm, which is one of New York's biggest secrets. Because there's very few people, as you notice, walking around on the rooftops in New York City.
Against the shiny modern skyline, the water tanks look vaguely prehistoric. They're like silos, gigantic wooden barrels wrapped with steel hoops, topped by a conical cap. Rosenwalk estimates there are 10,000 of them around the city, each holding up to 50,000 gallons of water.
I was in a building on the west side about a week ago, making an inspection, and I felt so honored. The engineer came over to me and said, "You're Rosenwalk. I want to thank you for keeping my city my city." Some commentators have called the water tanks soldiers of the night. And you're not a New Yorker if you don't know what a water tank is.
All right, now, when you get up here, that's it. Put your foot there.
Another burrow, another rooftop.
My name is Larry Daugherty. We're in the Throgs Neck section of the Bronx. On my roof, and next alongside my pigeon loft.
Larry Daugherty has been raising pigeons since he was 15 years old. He's a retired policeman. In 40 years, his wife has never set foot on this rooftop. He spends about 6 hours a day up here with his birds.
Oh, yeah, I'm in my glory here. Well, honestly, in my heart, I would love to be a horse owner, a racehorse owner. But in my pocket, it dictates I go to pigeons.
When you were looking for a place to live, I wonder, did part of it have to be that it would have a roof where you
A flat roof. Yes.
Larry Daugherty points out pigeon lofts perched on flat rooftops all across his neighborhood. You wouldn't know they were there if you weren't looking. He's got 140 pigeons here. They're racing birds.
Nobody's ever been in here but myself.
Are they a little scared?
Yes. This is all strange to them.
Strange to me, too.
Standing inside the wooden coop, we're enveloped by pigeons who flutter overhead in alarm. The variety is stunning. Every shade of gray, luminous violets, soft browns, one pure white.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, these are much prettier looking birds than the ones that I see walking around in Manhattan.
Well, they're what you see in Manhattan are called parkos, or wildies. These birds are pedigreed birds. those are, not that I call them mongrels, but they're crossbreds.
This has got to be a really special place for you to come up, maybe at dusk or when the sun's going down and you're in here with your birds.
It is. Oh, I'll tell you, the only thing that would keep me from being here would be horse racing results or the Met ball game and or dinner or lunch. Not that it's a sense of enjoyment, but I'm more at home or relaxed when I'm around these. And when I'm here alone and you see them and I hold out my hand, maybe have a Spanish peanuts in my hand, and I see the birds come over and land them on the tip of my fingers and start pecking, it's great. It's a great feeling. And you know that they trust you. Some of the others, they're very nervous. They'll fly off. Him, he'll sit there and look at me like, what the hell are you doing here?
After a day cooped up, the pigeons love to fly. Larry Daugherty has opened a wire mesh window, and one by one, the birds burst through and take off into the sky. Pretty soon, all of the pigeons have coalesced into a tight group.
You see them now all in one? That's what you like to see when they're all flying like that and working, not that they're just loafing. Look at them zig and zag.
The birds bank and wheel, their wings gleam silver in the late afternoon sun. They swoop over the Bronx rooftops, circling back, whooshing right over our heads in a gorgeous rustling whir of air against wing. These pigeons will fly for an hour or so, then back to Larry Daugherty's rooftop. They know exactly where home is, up on the roof.